two Bible lessons today. One is a gospel. One comes from the Old Testament, from the prophet Micah. Micah 5, verses 2 through 5a. If you'd like to follow along, it's in your pew Bible on page 815. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The second reading from the New Testament, one perhaps a little more familiar from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 56, in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 53. This, if you're an aficionado of Christmas music, you'll recognize the Magnificat in the middle of this reading. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are living a crazy juxtaposition of potential and actuality. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we are nearing the end of that long period of waiting. And yet today is Christmas Eve and tomorrow is Christmas Day. This morning, Mary is pregnant. And tonight, we will celebrate the birth of her Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We have arrived at that time when dreams become reality, where joy and expectation become cold, hard facts. We are at that crossroads of potential and actuality. You know, this story of Mary coming to grips with her pregnancy and the realization of the angel's promise brings to my mind a story that is not so very different, a story that happened to Jane and me. Our story is also a tale of waiting for a son. For several years, Jane and I had been trying to start a family. We went through endless fertility treatments, and we had spent several tens of thousands of dollars and the hard months of shots and waiting, trying in vitro fertilization. But nothing seemed to work. If you've been through this process, or if you know of anyone who's been through it, then you know that this is a process filled with joy and expectation, and then in a roller coaster of emotion, it can be filled with despair and discouragement. After much soul searching, endless long conversations over coffee, and many months, we decided that if this was our biological lot, then we would turn to adoption. To make a very long story short, we worked with several birth mothers, supporting them throughout their pregnancies, only to have the birth mother reconsider and decide to keep her baby. That was a true blessing for her, but a heartbreak for us. After so many disappointments, we had almost given up hope. We had almost thrown in the towel. Maybe we weren't meant to be a family after all. That one was a bittersweet Christmas that year. But just after the new year of 1993, out of the blue, one Wednesday morning, Jane got a call from an adoption agency that we had been working with in San Antonio, Texas, telling her that they had a baby boy who had been born that past Friday, a baby boy whose mother needed to find him a home, a baby boy who was available for us to adopt. If ever two people had the modern equivalent of a visit by the angel Gabriel, that's what that phone call was for me and Jane. That was Wednesday, and on Saturday we were on a plane headed for Central Texas. Jane had family in San Antonio, Uncle Bud and Aunt Patty Lou, so we would stay with them while we were working on the paperwork squared away so that we could bring our son back home to Virginia. Well, unbeknownst to me and Jane, Aunt Patty Lou had arranged it with the adoption agency that they would bring our baby boy to the airport to meet us. So Jane and I walked off the plane and walked down the long ramp leading to our luggage, and there in the distance we saw Uncle Bud and Aunt Patty Lou and a woman from the adoption agency holding a tiny bundle of boy, William Zachariah Morris. She handed Zach to me and Jane, and I remember standing in the airport with tears streaming down my face. We were an instant family. I can vividly remember of the feeling of Zach's little body in my arms. When I held his head in my right hand, his feet would just touch my bicep, and I can still feel that. And as I held Zach, I looked up into Jane's face, and I have never felt such overwhelming love as I did in that instant. God is good. God is very, very good. Well, later that evening, after we'd gotten home to Uncle Bud's house in San Antonio, reality began to set in. After years and years of hoping and wishing and wanting to be a family, Jane and I were now parents, and there was a little tiny human being who was absolutely dependent on the two of us to take care of him. This was a fairly sobering realization. Well, as all babies do, Zach had a full diaper, and the task fell to me to go upstairs and to change his diaper. So Zach and I marched up to the bathroom on the second floor with a clean diaper in hand, and I realized that I had never before in my life changed a diaper. I lay Zach down next to the sink in the bathroom, and I took a very deep breath. He looked so tiny and delicate. I was sure that if I didn't do this operation correctly, that I would break him and maim him for his life. And I was dealing with a disposable diaper here. There were no safety pins involved. I was sweating profusely as I changed that soiled diaper. It was 30 minutes later, honestly, 30 minutes when I emerged from that bathroom victorious. Zach had a new diaper, a new daddy, and a new life with me and Jane. You know, I wonder if maybe some of the same kinds of things were going on for Mary as she faced the reality of the miracle that the angel had described to her. Here she was, a teenage girl, having recently met the man who was now her husband. This girl, pregnant with a baby boy whom Gabriel had told her would be called the Son of God. Mary's faith was strong, and somehow she had reconciled herself to this new reality that the baby she would give birth to would be Jesus the Christ. But now her time was nearing. She and Elizabeth had compared notes and shared endless stories about morning sickness and about the incredible changes going on in their bodies and the aches and pains of carrying another life within their wombs. The reality of pregnancy and childbirth and the prospect of raising that child took on new and urgent meaning for Mary. But this was not the average teenage mother. No, Mary had the grace of God within her. She had a faith so strong and so constant that she fully realized the importance of her son and his place in this world. When we hear the Magnificat, Mary's song of praise, we understand that this teenage mother fully understood who she was and who her son would become. Mary's baby would be the Savior of the world, the Messiah whose coming had been prophesied for thousands of years. As Mary stayed with Elizabeth, dreams were becoming reality. Joy and expectation were becoming cold, hard facts. The one who had been waited for throughout the Hebrew Bible was as close as the heartbeat and the kicks within her womb. Mary truly was the Mother of God. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Today is Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is December 25th, Christmas of 2006. We stand at that crossroads of potential and actuality. And if we listen closely, we can hear the heartbeat of Jesus Christ within us. Our Savior is about to be born anew in our lives. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.